At the edge of Chicago, nestled on the shores of Lake Michigan, there is a way station for the dead. Every night, the newly departed travel through the city to the station, guided by its lighthouse. There, they reckon with their lives before stepping aboard a boat to go beyond. This is writer J.R. Dawson's latest book, The Lighthouse at the Edge of the World. The story is told by the characters Nara and Charlie, and central to the story is grief, how we carry it, and how we continue to move forward with our lives. We begin our What We're Reading conversation with J.R. Dawson describing their inspiration for this moody yet hopeful story.
So I went to school in Chicago, and the Great Lakes have always fascinated me. I grew up in Nebraska, where we have the Missouri River, but we don't have any big bodies of water with beaches. And so when I got to Chicago, the fact that this really vibrant city just stopped at the waterfront, and at night, there was this huge dichotomy between all of the lights in the city and then just like the blackness of the lake. And I saw it in Milwaukee too. And I just went to visit Duluth for the first time. And Lake Superior is a whole other monster.
They don't call it Superior for nothing.
Right. But yeah, so Lake Michigan is, and the Great Lakes have always really fascinated me. And there was this feeling of like, that's the end of the world right there. Yeah. So my time in Chicago was just very like, this city is haunted and something's up with that water. And I went to go see Sarah Rule's Eurydice while I was living there. And I was like, I'd never heard the story of Orpheus and Eurydice before. And so I started getting kind of obsessed with it. And then Hadestown came out and I was like even more obsessed with it. And so everything just kind of like combined into this weird amalgamation of what if the ferryman of the dead was on the beaches of Chicago, the shores of Chicago. And then as I was starting to write, my wife and I had to flee Nebraska to come here for the sanctuary laws. So there was a lot of grief in that, a different kind of grief than what is in the book, but still the same, because the character who is grieving has lost a family member, but has also lost her childhood home, has lost her community and her family. And the way that we go through different types of grief in life is all kind of tethered back to the same terrible roots. And so that sort of grief bled into the story and then brought up all of these other times where I'd had to say goodbye to people in my life or places. So that's kind of where the starting point was.
And this story has two main characters. We get their versions of the story throughout the book. We've got Nara, who is the station master's daughter, and she is in training to become the next station master. And Charlie is the other character, who is, as you mentioned, she is going through a deep grieving period, her and her family, with the death of her sister. And eventually these two meet by chance. Maybe it's not chance, but what do you want us to know about these two characters to begin with?
Yeah, so I think that they are two sides of the same coin. It was a meditation on how does death interact with life. Charlie is alive but surrounded by death, and Nara is, she's kind of alive, but she lives in death and she wants to be surrounded by life. And so they're kind of two ships passing in the night. And I think that for me, the story really started with them. I really wrote this as kind of a testament to my wife's awesomeness. I am a very big fan of my wife. And I was like, well, you know, what if she was a main character in a fairy tale? Like, What if her love for life and her belief in joy and kindness, even in the worst of times, was something that we all could learn from? So that's kind of where I started, and yeah, it's definitely dedicated to her, and I kind of just give her this book to be like, look, I see you, and this is how I see you, and this is how you interact with the world and affect us all.
This is what we're reading on KAXE KBXE, and we're talking with writer J.R. Dawson about their latest book, The Lighthouse at the Edge of the World. So you mentioned this a little bit earlier. Really central to the theme of this book is grief. Charlie and her family, we just said, are dealing with the loss of her sister. Nara has her own kind of relationship with her father, Harrison, who is the station master. He even has some aspects of his past life that he's going to have to deal with too as the story goes on. You kind of talked about how the story speaks to how we grieve, but I'm wondering if you want to talk a little bit about how we learn to continue to live on with our lives after losing someone we love or after a deep grieving deeply over something or someone.
Yeah. So the biggest loss that I've had is my grandmother, who helped raise me. She was a third parent, and a second mom. And her death was awful. There's just no way around it. It was just a really bad death. It wasn't a good one. So we lost her in 2013 after 10 years of really painful decline. And I realized in 2023, like, it's been 10 years. It still sucks. Like, it still hurts as much as it did. And so what do you do with that? Because it's not going to go away. Like, usually when you scrape your knee or, you break your bone or something, there, it's going to get better and it's going to heal. And like, I even think that sometimes other kinds of losses or smaller losses or changes, like, we moved up here and I was like, oh, sucks, but I know it's going to get better. Or you break up with someone and you're like, oh, it sucks, but I know in 10 years, grief just stays. And it doesn't shrink. And so what do you do with that now that you have this thing, this rock in your stomach that you're carrying around? And there's no changing it either. About a year after we lost my grandmother, I lost my friend who was 26 years old and passed from a pretty quick and aggressive cancer. And they were so alive and they had so much more to do. And there's no conclusion, there's no resolution to that. It just happens and then you have to deal with it. So, in that, how do you continue to carry that rock with you or those rocks with you and realize like it's gonna be, if we meet afterwards, it's gonna be a very long time. And if we don't meet afterwards, that's it. And I have, years on me, 'cause both of these happened when I was in my 20s. And I was like, well, if everything goes to plan, I have years on me. And so how are you going to fill those decades? And how are you going to continue to carry all of that? And I think that also there's a grief, on a larger scale of, our country is going through a grief and has been going through a grief of, wow, everything's on fire. Okay, well, I can't be on fire the whole time. So how do I allow myself to take these moments of like eating a really good pizza or listening to a really good song or connecting with a very cool person, while people are dying and things are crumbling? So it's that juxtaposition of how do we live? How are I bring up the metaphor in the book of like a flower growing through concrete. And that was taken from my grandma's favorite book of A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, of like how do we continue to grow and when there's cement everywhere?
Oh, that's a great metaphor. I am going to switch it up because my very next question is about dogs.
Yes,
we have to talk about the
dogs.
dogs. The dogs in the story are a kind of guardian directing souls to the station. And they accompany souls on their journey onwards. How did you envision this task to fall to dogs?
Yeah, so I really love dogs. So I have three dogs. They are in the story. I'm the proud dog mom of LB, Gertie, and Chestnut. Those aren't their real names, but I put them as three of my favorite dogs. And I think that also like ties into grief that I'm gonna, if everything goes to plan, outlive all three of my baby boys. And so I wanted to immortalize them somehow, and I wanted to spend even more time with them. And in 10 years from now, unless they're, Crypto the Super Dog or something, like they aren't going to be here, and I'll be able to open this up and remember them, and other people will get to know them. So future grief is a thing, but also I just like dogs are the best. Like through all of this, these little guys like. Well, Gertie's kind of a big guy, but these little guys like just love you unconditionally. They want to do well by you. And I'm not a scientist or an anthropologist, but from what I understand, they domesticated themselves, and it's more of a coexistence. Like these guys are little cinnamon rolls, and I'm like, well, if anybody is here on Earth to help, like we're here to help each other, and also. There's when you look at mythology and different spiritualities, dogs show up around death all the time. And sometimes they're kind of scary or they're very in charge or they're like an omen. But a lot of the times they're just good boys. They're just helping out. And so it seemed natural, and also I really wanted to write about my dogs.
J.R. Dawson is the author of The Lighthouse at the Edge of the World. It's what we're reading. I'm Tammy Bobrowski.